Okay, so tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. I've got Tony up here. We're just going to, just knock this back and forwards a little bit between us. We want to just share something about, following Jesus is something we're passionate about in Just Church, and doing that by being purposeful in outreach. And really all that means is actually caring for people who are outside, you know, our community, outside the four walls of what we do, outside maybe even our nuclear family, actually caring for them and reaching out to them in Jesus' name. So that's something that we care about. I know Tony's a pretty passionate sort of guy. He's passionate about outreach as well, which is really cool. So, it's great to have you up here.
Cheers.
Okay, so I'm going to say a word of prayer and then we'll jump into it. Jesus, just want to thank you so much that you're good to us. Thank you that you give us mission. Thank you give us more than just the daily grind and more than just the little lives that we live. You allow us to participate in something much bigger called your kingdom. And we don't even get everything about that, but we just thank you that there's something more for us, and pray you reveal something of that tonight as we share. Oh, man. Okay, so first up, Tony, tell us a bit about yourself. You're a Toowoomba local, or you're a ring-in, or, what's your sort of backstory? What do you do for a living, and how did you come to know Jesus?
Holy smokes. So I'm from Logan originally, from a place called Eagleby, so just don't pop that against me. Moved up to Toowoomba about 2011. With the whole family, so yeah, I've just been loving it actually. I love Toowoomba, and yeah, so I've been here ever since then. Currently I'm working for two companies, Gamba being one of them, and Retrocon as well, and so yeah, that's been really good. And I think in the side of faith, I grew up in a Christian family, and so I've known about the Lord for a long time, and I made a decision when I was about 5 years old or so. Does anyone remember those 90s Jesus movies? Did anyone see them?
Yep.
Back in the day? Yes, we got a couple of people. I actually gave my heart to the Lord after watching one of those. They had the a sinner's prayer, and they explained, you know, Jesus. And from a young age, I was like, whoa, this is legit. I made the commitment, and I remember I was too embarrassed. I didn't want my brother to see me. I thought he might beat me up or something if he saw me praying. So I went into the garage, this little five-year-old, and sort of hid and just gave my heart to the Lord. And then time went on, and I sort of drifted away from the Lord again. And I went through a stage when I was about 14. Just a lot of pride and arrogance, like as a young dude. And it wasn't good. And I ended up sort of recommitting my life to the Lord again at the age of 14, and that was really good. And I remember just the day I gave my heart to the Lord again, just afresh, and I said, Lord, I don't need this crap in my life. Please just take it all away. And I remember it felt like I was carrying this backpack full of bricks or something. Like, that was the burden of sin on my life. And when I just repented and I said, Lord, take it all, he did, hey. And I just felt so fresh. It was awesome. So anyway, that's part of my story, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And you've been part of Just Church here for around about 18 months or so, but you ditched us last year. You shot Peru for 5 months. We thought you were like a goners or something. No, we didn't really. We knew you were doing something called Youth with a Mission.
My feet can't touch the ground. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, I'll drop. Here we go. Just keep it real. So you're doing something called Youth with a Mission. Do you want to tell us what that was about and why you were doing that?
Yeah. So Youth with a Mission, it's a massive international, interdenominational missionary group. And they train and send out young missionaries to spread the gospel. And I did. They've got bases all over the shop. There's actually one in Toowoomba as well. And yeah, I did mine in Colorado last year. And so it sort of looks like this. It's about 3 months of the lecture phase, which is knowing God, or to know God. And then the second part is the outreach, which is like to make him known. And for my outreach, I went to Belize for 1 month and Mexico for another month. And so Yeah, it was a pretty crazy experience, eh? Like, I've gone to Papua New Guinea before that, but I haven't had a whole lot to do with, like, third world nations, and being there for, like, 2 months, like, that's a decent amount of time, like, to actually be living in amongst it, you know? And, yeah, it definitely grew me a lot in that time, because I guess we were doing things like street evangelism. I'd be like preaching the gospel and sharing my testimony to like 200 Mexicans, like in a marketplace, and same in Belize. And we did a lot of ministry with people in rehab centers as well. So we'd go in there and just pray for them and share the gospel. And we went to a prison once, and like you walk in and there's one prison in Belize, and there's like over 1,400 inmates, and we walk in and I'm just like, I'm going to die. They're all holding machetes and I was like, we're going to die. But we didn't, which is good. But yeah, no, they just use machetes for everything, like cutting the grass, brushing your teeth, anything, like machetes. It'll do the job. Like, it's crazy. Anyway, so yeah, so it was definitely a very challenging time in my life. Just because I had to step out of my comfort zone so much. And there was, to a certain degree, it's not even like, oh, bro, like, it's okay, don't worry about it. They're like, no, if you want to pass your DTS, like, you have to do this. So I'm like, oh, man. So, yeah, I was doing a lot of stuff that was out of my comfort zone, like public speaking and like what I'm doing right now. And, yeah, but it was definitely an incredible time, yeah.
Yeah, you did some acting. You're going to show us a little bit later on.
No way. No, that was my worst part of DTS, was we had to do these dramas. And they were like symbolic of like a broken family or forgiveness or people, like facade, people putting on different faces. And that was the worst week of DTS because I'm not into the drama or anything like that. And then you perform in front of like hundreds of Mexicans and they're just like, stupid white man, like so good.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, that's really cool, Tony, and that's like right out over there overseas, yeah. And doing something crazy. But also just notice that in your life, you kind of, you know, you're passionate about outreach, not just out there but in day-to-day life. And I guess I just wanted to ask you a few questions tonight about, first one being, like, what motivates you to do that, to reach out in Jesus' name?
Yeah, I think, there's two things that really motivate me. Like, one being that, like, I'm a follower of Jesus. Like, I believe that he is, like, legit. He's the real deal. I believe he's sovereign, just meaning, like, he's God and I'm not. And I guess also for that reason, like he commands us to go into all the world and like preach the gospel. And so I just acknowledge his position as well. And I'm like, yep, done. So I go and do it because he told me to. And then also I like to say like love compelled me to. And just meaning that I've experienced, I shared my testimony before, a snippet of it. And I've experienced what that was like to have sin lifted off of me. And I'm so keen, and you guys probably are too, to see other people experience that in their own lives and whatever crap they're dealing with. And so, yeah, that just makes me, it's just like any good thing. You just want to share it with people, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that outreach is not just, an excuse to go overseas or go to a cool place. Like I've been to Colorado, pretty good skiing there. But you know, you can have those motivations, but I'd love to hear that ultimately it's a motivation about that it's obedience to Jesus, what he's called us to do. And it's also motivated by love, or even just like care and concern for people, for their welfare, for where they're at. So yeah, that's really cool. I guess just on that whole compelled by love thing, like just wondered if you could maybe explain to us a little bit, maybe a couple of stories about, like, what does that look like in daily life? Like, you walk down the street and say, man, I'm just compelled by love. Like, people will look at you in a fairly weird way. Like, that's just not how we do things. So what does it mean to you in a sort of tangible way?
It does look different for each person in whatever circumstance. But for me, there was a time, I worked at Wee's Frozen Foods for some time, actually, for about 3 years. And there was this girl, Melissa. And so we started work and, you know, you're just saying g'day to everyone. how you doing? And I asked Melissa, actually, I was like, hey, how you doing today? And she was like, oh, I'm in so much pain. I'm like, oh no, what is it? And she's like, oh, I've got this urinal tract infection. I'm like, holy smokes. So the Bible says to lay hands on the sick. I was like, I don't know if I can do that, Jesus. Like, I don't know if I got that faith, you know? And so I was like, man, I'm sorry, that's unfortunate. So I sort of just, I was like, okay, well, have a good day. And sort of just went on with the work. And then the next day, like, same thing, I was like, hey, how you doing today? And she's like, oh man, it's worse. Like, I'm in so much pain. And then, like, she's one of these girls that doesn't hold anything back. Like, she just gives you the works. And I'm like, traumatized. And I was like, okay. And so I was like, really convicted because we're commanded to and encouraged to actually, like, to go out and to do the most loving thing, which for her was to pray for her for healing, to step out in faith and believe God for that. And so I was sort of like shying away, and I was just awkward. And anyway, so the day went on, and I ended up working right next to her. And so we were chatting, and then there was a bit of a pause, and she just started crying, and like all these tears just started going down her face. I thought, holy smokes. And so I was like, are you okay? And she's like, no, it's just so painful. And I was like, man, I gotta pray for her. I'm like right here, it's just the two of us. Like, so I asked her, I said, hey, would you mind if I prayed for you, just ask the Lord for healing? And she was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So I got to pray for her on this production line, and look, God healed her, right? Like, we ended up moving on. You'd like rotate every like half an hour sort of thing, and moved on, and then another half an hour passes, and she comes back to me, and she's like, Tony, I didn't even notice, I just like walked away, because we started talking again. She just walked away, and then she realized that like there was no pain, and like she was completely healed from then on. So I was just like, well, God's so amazing. Like, we just got to be bold enough and have enough faith to actually step out and do what he told us to do.
That's a really cool story. Hey, I just thought you might share with us as well about Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, what a good time. Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Awesome. So Christmas Day was one to remember. So our small church, we had all these gifts that we were able to go around and give our neighbours. And so I loaded up on these chocolates, and I think I had like four. And I've got a little investment property there on Jellicoe Street. So I thought, man, I should go like hand these chocolates out. And there was no like agenda behind it. It was just like, just to bless these people, just to give some chocolates away, you know? And so Christmas Day, I wake up and I'm like, man, I got all these chocolates. Better drop them off. So I just like jumped in the ute, went for it, and I went to my house, and I ended up spending like an hour and a half with my neighbours, actually. It was so good. We just had like, they invited me in, had a cuppa and had some cake and all this. It was just such a good time, and I was able to really develop a better relationship with them and just let them know that like I'm there for them sort of thing. And with the other neighbours as well, they're pretty loose. Like, they were on their way out to do something, so just had a short convo with them, and they were so shocked though, eh? They didn't know what to think. And so that was that. So I was on my way home to actually drop off the other two boxes of chocolates to my, like, where I actually live. And on the drive home, I was going up Holberton Street there, and I saw this lady to the left, and she was just sitting in this chair by herself in the yard. And I was like, oh man, people shouldn't be alone on Christmas Day. That's the worst. And I was like, man, my sisters were killing me because I was out on Christmas Day already. But if I was to spend even more time, I was like, I won't even survive Christmas Day. Like, they're going to kill me. So anyway, so I ended up, I pulled over and I ran down the road and had this Starbucks of chocolates with me. I was like walking up the driveway, and I look, but I was really halfway down the driveway, and she saw me. And she had this stunned look on her face. And then it turns out she wasn't even by herself anyway. Her family was all there, and they were just like hidden behind, like I didn't see them. Anyway, so I went in and I was like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, oh, all right. And I was like, hey, I got this box of chocolates for you. She's like, what the heck? And so we had a good time. And look, I spent actually like probably 2.5 hours of Christmas Day there. I didn't know them from a bar of soap, hey. But we had this great conversation, and in that time, like, I was able to share the gospel with them and just let them know that, Jesus is there for them, and that there's a church called Just Church that cares about them too, which is why we were doing that, just let people know we care. And so, yeah, it was really awesome. So that was a bit of a story.
Yeah. That's cool. I love it. Every other week you turn up with a random story. It's great. Between you and Madeline and Andrew and a couple others, it's like no end of random stories, which is great. Because I have no random stories in my life. Pretty much, it just doesn't happen. I sit in an office and I stare at a computer screen and nobody talks to me. Except Justin now, because he's going away, which is good. That's made my life a little more exciting. But it's great. You bring a whole lot of entertainment to life. It's great. Now, I just wondered, I suppose, you know, all of this mix, and I know, like, that's just, you know, something you're passionate about and you do just randomly, but also intentionally as well. I guess what motivates, like, what sort of biblical concepts, I guess, do you fall back on, do you rest on when you're reaching out to people? And, you know, kind of practically, I guess, how does that work out?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple scriptures here, so...
Funny I say that, you've got something for a
fact. Oh, mate, I'm ready to go. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. For me, like, that really stands out, the last bit, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Like, we know that, like, the goodness of God leads people to repentance. It's not how good we are, it's how good He is. And the Lord really works through us in just serving people. Like, most of you probably know, like, I serve in Red Frogs as well. Like, go hang out with the students and just help them out. And, I think the awesome thing with Red Frogs is we don't even go in and we're like, hey, Jesus. We're just like, we just go in and hang out with them. We just serve them and just show the love of Christ, like, regardless. And that's actually a massive testimony that's a lot of evidence actually of your faith right there, because you're living it out, like, just caring for people. And I've got another one. Steve, can you help a brother out? Oh man, multitasking's not going well. Okay,
that was an intimate moment though, when your hands touched.
A whole lot going on. Okay. Says the married man. Chapter 7. Luke 6:45. This is another ripper. If you look at flip the pages, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. And once again, like, for me, just that bottom part, it just stands out so much. It's like, whatever's predominantly going on in your heart, that's what you're going to talk about a lot. And so I found myself last year, actually just before DTS, this is when the Lord sort of gave me like a spiritual kick up the butt, just to pursue Him and like seek His kingdom first. Because predominantly, like, my mind, like, it was my heart, it was focused on like money, business, maybe girls, you know? And so it wasn't good. And I think people, it really shows what is on your heart, because you talk about it a lot. And so if you just keep pursuing the Lord and you really build that love relationship with Him, you can't help but talk about Him, because you're just so in love with Him and He's in love with you, you know what I mean? It's like a good relationship, I guess. Yeah, so they're the two biggest ones for me.
That's cool. I love that. They're just... that people see the good that we do, not that we, you know, we do it for that reason even. We just show care and concern for people. But it begs the question, like, I think about in Colossians 4, it says that your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And kind of knowing how to answer everyone gives the implication that people would ask questions, like, that the way we conduct ourselves. It's like, why would you do that? Like, I know the whole frog scene, and I've been involved in that sort of stuff. It's like, you're cleaning up someone's vomit, and they're like, why would you do that? Like, you're a stranger. And nothing else would compel a person except a love, not even just for other people. Like, I don't think a love for humanity would compel that, but a love for God and his heart for humanity expressed in that really would. So that's awesome. I really, really love that. It's also something that we can practically do. It's kind of like everything. Any of us can show care and concern for people, and also to draw near to the Lord, that's what's on our heart to share, just sharing out of the goodness of what God's done for us. So yeah, look, I thought we'll probably wrap it up there, Tony. But I just wonder if, there's practical things, anything you could think of that might encourage us. Like, we're all in different places, different kind of personalities. You're a pretty extroverted guy, I'm a pretty introverted guy. But just any things you could have to encourage us to do that too, I guess, to activate something of that in our life. And then I wonder if you might just be able to pray for us and pray for the city.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, like, one thing I was really shocking at, and I think it's probably a lack of identity, really, is I was, like, I would see different, like, really cool evangelists, and I'd be like, man, I want to be like that guy. But that's the worst, because then you're, like, saying to compare yourself to someone you're not, like, God didn't even make you to be that guy, you know? He made you to be you. And so I guess just thriving in who God's made you to be, like, And just using what you're passionate about, and just bringing people alongside. And I know a lot of people are, like, crazy busy. Like, I say I'm busy, and then there's, like, really busy. So, I understand that. And I guess something that I've been doing a lot since I've been home from DTS is just bringing people alongside what I'm doing already. I guess providing they're able to. And just spending that quality time just... discipling them. So yeah, that's probably a real big one. It's just inviting them into what you're already doing, but also I guess seek it out for yourself as well. Like, this is probably, you've probably got your own way of sharing the love of Jesus with people, so seek that out with the Lord, and yeah, I guess he'll guide you. Yeah, and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. We just thank you so much for every person here, every person in Toowoomba, Highfields. Lord, we just commit this place to you. But we know there's a lot of people out there that are lost and hurting, and they don't have community in their life. So, Father, please use us. Use us as your, like, representatives, as, like, your ambassadors, to bring these people into a place where they feel, like, at home and just comforted and loved, and let them know that someone does actually give a damn. Father, just please help us to be a bit more bold if necessary, and also just, we ask that you can help us to prioritize people in our lives over like any other thing, really. We just want to give you glory and just bless people. So help us to be, like, the most loving people we can be, in Jesus' name. We all say amen.
Amen.